Surprise, it's not Ted. Good morning, it's Susan Larson of Fredericksburg Today Online News, and I'm filling in for Ted this week on Town Talk as he's on vacation. I'm very excited about today's show. I have with me Raina Krasner, who is the Outreach Coordinator at the Wildlife Center of Virginia. Good morning.
Good morning.
I am so excited. We were talking before the show that I accidentally found the Wildlife Center of Virginia. I was visiting Waynesboro and was driving down a road in the middle of nowhere, it seemed, and there to the right it was. And since then, I've learned more about you all, so thanks for being with me this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So for those who don't know, what is the Wildlife Center of Virginia?
The Wildlife Center is a teaching and research hospital, and we treat native Virginia wildlife. Every year, we treat just around 2,500 different wild animals, and we see animals from all over the state of Virginia. Almost all species that can be found in Virginia we're able to treat at the center.
How do the animals come to be at the center?
Well, we rely on people like you and like the listeners. We rely just on the average citizen. If someone encounters an animal that they think is hurt or sick or injured, we rely on them to contact us, let us know, and either we rely on them to bring the animal to us, or we can coordinate with one of our volunteer transporters throughout the state to get the animal to the hospital so we can treat them.
And at the hospital, are there specially trained people? It's not like you can take these animals to your local veterinarian.
Correct, yes. So the Wildlife Center is a hospital for wild animals, so we do have veterinarians on staff, and our veterinarians are specially trained to work with wild animals, and we also have permitted wildlife rehabilitators. In the state of Virginia, you do have to have a permit to rehabilitate or care for wild animals. So we have trained staff that care for these animals.
Now, how did this organization come into being?
Mm-hmm. Well, the center was founded in 1982, and it had a much different name. It was a much longer name that I never remember. but it was founded in 1982, and it was a pretty small operation in Augusta County to begin with. The first year, they had something like 4 patients, which has now grown to, 2,500 patients every year. But in the early to mid-90s, we moved to our current location in Waynesboro. The land was donated to us by DuPont. So we have a small chunk of land with our building and our hospital. And we expanded into the George Washington National Forest, which surrounds us. So when you felt like you were driving through the middle of nowhere, okay, you were really driving past the George Washington National Forest. Our patient and education animal enclosures are actually in the forest, and we co-manage that land.
What kind of animals, you're saying they're native to Virginia, but what are we talking about?
Well, we see a lot of different animals. We see pretty small animals. We see bats and tree frogs. We see big animals like black bear, bobcats, bald eagles. Right now we have about 10 bald eagle patients, and a number of them are juvenile birds. This past week, we admitted 18 Virginia opossums, which this is sort of the season for opossums, and a number of baby birds as well. And we're also treating just around 30 deer fawn, white-tailed deer fawn. So we see a lot of different animals, pretty much all species that are native to Virginia.
You mentioned you see a lot of little birds right now, and that reminds me of something I read on your website. And also because I know I have a horse, and out at my barn recently there have been some little birds just on the ground, and people think, oh, no, we need to rescue them. But
yes. But
tell us that that's not always true.
It's definitely not always true. So birds go through what we call the fledgling period. It's when they're just learning how to fly. And I like to equate it to a kid learning how to ride a bike. So people think of birds, when they learn how to fly, they think they're just naturally good at it, that they're majestic, and they fly out of their nest off into the sunset. But the truth is...
That's what I think.
No, it's not true. Baby birds are incredibly clumsy to begin with. They often will sort of just tumble out of the nest, and they spend some time on the ground sort of flopping around and maybe getting up to some low branches nearby. But people will encounter these birds on the ground and think that because they're out of the nest and they look sort of young and helpless, that they need to be rescued. But the truth is, mom or dad or both are nearby. If you have a question about a bird that you found on the ground, if they look like they're really featherless, or if they look like they're sick, or if there's a cat nearby, you can call us and we will help you figure out what to do. because each situation does differ a little bit. But usually those birds don't need help. They're just learning how to fly and they're looking really awkward.
Just leave them be.
Just leave them be. Yep, that's the best advice.
I also see a lot of people pick up the baby birds when they are just born and they don't have any feathers. And in fact, I saw someone had one in a shoebox recently trying to keep it alive. Oh, is that even doable?
No, it's really challenging to raise young songbirds. And when they always have the best chance of survival when they're with their mothers. But people, if a baby bird falls out of the nest or is somehow separated from the mother and father, people think that they're not able to re-nest the bird. They think that if a bird falls out of the nest, then that's it. And you can't touch it because your human scent will rub off on the baby.
Boy,
and mom
yes,
will reject
yes.
it. And that myth has been going around for, you know.
We are here to end that myth.
Yes, we are here to end that myth. But the fact is that most birds don't have a sense of smell as far as humans know. So if you find a baby bird that you think has just fallen out of its nest, you can actually pick the bird up. And the best thing you can do is keep it in your hand for just a minute very gently and warm it up before placing it back in the nest. Because often the reason that mothers will reject a baby is because it's cold. And if it's been away from the nest with its siblings, then it's more likely to seem cold and sickly. So that may be where that myth stems from. They see the mother reject a baby because it was cold, but not because of the human smell.
What if you can't find the nest?
If you can't find the nest, that's where things get a little bit tricky. You can always contact the Wildlife Center, and we have very knowledgeable front desk coordinators, and they talk people through this every day, multiple times a day. So they are very knowledgeable, and they'll help you with your individual situation.
So the Wildlife Center doesn't mind getting phone calls?
No, of course not. No, we want to help people interact with wildlife in an appropriate, healthy way.
In reading the website too, I saw that's part of your mission, not only to care for animals, but the mission is bigger than that. Tell us about that.
Our mission is teaching the world to care about and to care for wildlife and the environment. So we achieve that in a couple of ways. The first way is we are a teaching hospital, as I mentioned earlier. So we teach veterinary students and veterinary professionals from around the world, as well as students that are interested in getting experience with wildlife rehabilitation. So we see people from all over the world that want to get hands-on experience working with North American native wildlife. But that's just one half of our mission. The other half is outreach and teaching people about how to properly interact with wild animals. So we have our front desk coordinators that work, sort of on the front lines of the organization, answering questions about human-wildlife conflict and helping people figure out how to help these animals, that whatever the situation might be. And then we have the outreach program, which I'm part of as the outreach coordinator. And we do programs across the state of Virginia, and we have a very large online program as well to teach people about wildlife.
And we're going to get into some of those programs and how people can participate when we come back after the break. I'm Susan Larson of Fredericksburg Today Online News, filling in for Ted Schubel this week. And we're talking with the Wildlife Center of Virginia Outreach Coordinator, Raina Krasner. We have a lot more to talk about, so stay with us. We'll be right back. Actually, your host this week is Susan Larson. I'm the publisher of Fredericksburg Today Online News, and I have the great pleasure and honor of filling in for Ted when he's on vacation. So this morning, we are talking with Raina Krasner, and she's the outreach coordinator at the Wildlife Center of Virginia. Good morning again. We talked about the baby birds, because right now at this time of year, a lot of baby birds are being picked up and you're getting calls about them. But other frequent calls to your offices concern baby deer.
Sure, yes.
So what should someone do if they find a baby deer that they think is hurt or abandoned?
Well, the answer is usually pretty simple. It's usually leave it alone, put the deer fawn back. One of the biggest issues that we have with deer fawn is that people fawn nap them. So deer fawn are left alone for almost the entire day. The mother comes to feed them in the morning and at dusk because they are prey animals. They don't want to draw attention to where they hide their baby. And deer fawn have incredible camouflage, and they're usually pretty well behaved, and they stay down in the grass and they listen to mom. But every once in a while, they pop their head up where they get impatient and they wander off. And when humans see them, they assume that because mom isn't there immediately with them, that they must be abandoned or orphaned or something is wrong. But the truth is, they're just doing what they're supposed to do. Mom is off and she'll come back later to check on them. So people will take them in, they bring them to us without giving mom a chance to come back. And that's what we call fawn napping. So we do encourage everyone, if they encounter a deer fawn, the absolute best thing you can do is leave them be for a period of time, give them 24 hours, check on them, and if they look really sickly, if they look incredibly weak, if they have any obvious injuries, then you can contact a wildlife rehabilitator and that fawn might need help. But usually, they're
usually not. Yeah, we're interfering more than helping.
Mm-hmm. And deer fawn are incredibly challenging to rehabilitate. They're high stress species, so they don't do very well in captivity, which means that when humans are raising them, we have to take a lot of extra precautions, and they might not survive. So we always encourage people to just try to leave the deer fawn with their mother or in a situation where they can be reunited with their mother.
Now, how should people call someone locally, like in their county, or should they call you directly?
Well, that depends. If you are familiar with your local wildlife rehabilitators, that can certainly be a good option. But the Wildlife Center is not the only place that rehabilitates wild animals. There are plenty of wildlife rehabilitators throughout the state. But we do have a hospital on site, which means that we see different patients than some of the at-home rehabilitators that you might encounter in your local county or city. But if you know of a local wildlife rehabilitator, you can certainly contact them, and they'll let you know if they treat that certain animal.
Because you were saying earlier, people in Virginia can become certified wildlife rehabilitators.
Yes. Yeah, you have to go through a process to become a permanent wildlife rehabilitator. It's a pretty lengthy process for good reason. You know, we want to make sure that people are well-trained and they know what they're doing to become a rehabilitator, but it's through the state, and depending on what kinds of animals you want to work with, the permitting process is a little bit different.
And I would imagine a lot of those people, if they're local, are working with the smaller animals.
Yeah, well, yes, that's true. There's a lot of people that work with small animals. The Wildlife Center is really the only place that raises black bear. We are black bear and treat adult black bear, and we're one of the couple places that treat bald eagles. So there are some animals that we see that other places don't have the ability to treat just based on their size and their permits, but there are a lot of rehabilitators that see small animals or songbirds or even raptors.
How do you find those rehabilitators?
Mm-hmm. Well, you can always call the Wildlife Center if you are unsure. If you don't know who your local wildlife rehabilitator is, you can contact us, and our front desk coordinators have this great little map that we've put together that has some contact information for different rehabilitators throughout the state, so they can point you in the right direction and give you some contact information. You can also visit the Virginia Department of Game and Inland Fisheries website, and they have some information about wildlife rehabilitators throughout the state. But it's challenging to keep that updated, I think.
Right.
So.
Sounds like you all are so involved in it that you would probably know pretty well what's available across the state.
We definitely have a lot of relationships with rehabilitators, so we're pretty aware of at least somebody in each region.
Now, one of the animals you mentioned several times now is the bald eagle.
Yeah.
And I know here in the Fredericksburg area along the Rappahannock River, we have several areas that are you can see the bald eagle. Why are you receiving so many of them this summer?
Well, unfortunately, one of the, to lump it all together, it's usually human interaction. So we see bald eagles because they either were hit by a car when they are scavengers. People don't really think about that, but they scavenge, they eat dead things. So if they're
related to a vulture in that way.
Absolutely, yes. But they'll hang out on the side of the road and they might be hit by a car if they're scavenging. They suffer from lead toxicity. So if they ingest a small piece of lead, like if a hunter goes out hunting with lead bullets or buckshot, and they field dress the deer and leave some of the entrails behind. Because they're scavengers, they'll eat those entrails and they'll ingest lead particles, and it can make them very sick. They're very susceptible to lead toxicity. Unfortunately, recently we've encountered some issues with litter. So bald eagles don't, of course, eat plastic on a regular basis, but we did recently have a bald eagle that his stomach was just filled with pieces of plastic and balloon bits and all kinds of stuff in it, and it led to his death. So we have seen interactions with litter that cause animals to be admitted to the Wildlife Center.
And really, so many things that we may not even think of as litter are litter. Like you were saying, the buckshot.
Mm-hmm.
Really pick up after yourselves. Don't throw things.
Absolutely.
Even I used to think, oh, well, if you're eating an apple or a piece of fruit in the car and you want to get rid of the core, just out the window, because the animals will eat it. But I learned something from you about that.
Yes.
Not a good idea.
Well, we call it the message of the apple core, or the apple core effect. And it sort of goes that imagine you are eating an apple, driving down the road, you get down to the apple core, and instead of taking it home to a garbage can or compost pile, you toss the apple core out the car window. And plenty of people think that this really isn't a big deal because it's a food item, it's biodegradable, it'll just break down, turn into soil.
Or you're feeding an animal.
Or you're feeding an animal, which unfortunately is true. You absolutely are feeding an animal. But it's on the side of the road. So if you throw that apple core out, it lands in a really dangerous place, and it might attract mice, squirrels, opossums, turtles.
Eagles.
Yeah, well, an eagle wouldn't necessarily be interested in the apple core, but
okay,
they would be interested in all of those little critters I just mentioned. So an eagle or a hawk or an owl might perch on the other side of the road and wait for a little squirrel to come along and swoop down and eat the squirrel. But because it's on
chain
a busy
reaction.
Road, yes, they might be hit by a car. And we do have several animals that are education animals that live at the Wildlife Center that were hit by cars. And that's one of our top causes of admission is animals that are hit by vehicles.
Yeah. So if you're driving and you accidentally hit an animal, what should you do?
Oh, well, that's challenging. It really depends on the individual situation. In some cases, there's not much you can do if it's,
right.
If it's an adult deer, it's really challenging. But if it's a box turtle, we see plenty of box turtles that are hit by cars every year. And the best thing you can do is get them help, get them to the Wildlife Center or to a rehabilitator, and we can try our very best to heal them.
Very good. Now, you had also mentioned this is a time of year when you're seeing a lot of opossums.
Yeah.
And am I saying that right?
Opossums, yeah.
Okay.
Virginia opossums, yes. And unfortunately, again, opossums, the reason they're usually admitted is because their mother was hit by a car. Because opossums they're kind of lazy eaters. They're omnivores. They'll eat just about anything they come across, and they're very slow. They sort of waddle along the road when they're looking for food. And they're nocturnal, so they're out at night, which means that cars often don't see them. And they are marsupials, so they carry their young in a pouch on their stomach, just like kangaroos. But they're like super marsupials because they can have a number of babies in their pouch, up to 13. So if a mother is hit by a car, the babies are really reliant on her. They can't survive on their own outside of the pouch at that point. So a lot of people will find these after they themselves hit an opossum or they see an opossum that's been hit. They'll check inside the pouch and bring the babies to us, which is why usually when we admit opossums, it's a number at a time. It's never like one or two opossums. It's like six opossums or eight opossums. So, yeah.
What are some of the other animals that you see a lot of this time of year?
This time of year, it's really baby season. So we see a number of songbirds. Earlier in the spring, we see a lot of baby squirrels because squirrels nest twice a year. They nest in the late winter and then the late summer.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So as August, the end of August rolls around, we'll see a lot of squirrels again. And of course, baby rabbits, which are very similar to deer. They're like a smaller version of deer in that the babies are left behind all day. Mom doesn't check on them except twice a day. So people find them and think that they're orphaned.
Absolutely. I have a friend who found one and thought it was orphaned.
Oh, well, yeah. Usually Surprise. You can just leave them behind. Yep. And unfortunately, we do see a number of animals, especially with baby rabbits that have been attacked by cats. Cat attacks are a huge cause of admission for animals at the Wildlife Center. So baby bunnies and baby birds are often the victims of cat attacks.
And do a lot of these animals rehabilitate to release?
Yes, that is our goal. We hope that all the animals that come to us can be released, but of course, that's just not possible. A number of animals can't be released into the wild or don't survive. But that is our goal. So we do have releases are really what we look forward to. And we do sometimes have public releases. So if people keep an eye out on our Facebook page or our website, you might get a chance to tag along to a bald eagle release or a hawk release. Or if you bring an animal to us, sometimes you're able to release that animal into the wild.
I know that the Wildlife Center of Virginia has a lot of outreach programs and events and opportunities for people to become involved.
Yeah.
And so when we come back after our break, we're going to talk more about that. I'm talking with Outreach Coordinator Raina Krasner from the Wildlife Center of Virginia. I'm Susan Larson of Fredericksburg today, filling in for Ted on Town Talk, WFEA. We'll be right back. actually, the host is Susan Larson. I'm filling in for Ted this week, and I'm the publisher of Fredericksburg Today Online News. Make sure you check us out, fredericksburg.today. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Today, we're talking about the Wildlife Center of Virginia. Outreach coordinator Raina Krasner is here. She's in town with some very special guests, Alex the Eastern Screech Owl, Grayson the Broad-Winged Hawk, and Buttercup the Black Vulture, our visiting Central Rappahannock Regional Library branches this week. We're going to talk a little bit about that after we do a little more review about other programs that you have available for the public to become involved in at the Wildlife Center of Virginia.
Sure. We, the Wildlife Center, because we are an active operating hospital, we aren't open for the public to drop in. But we do have open houses periodically through the year, so people can, again, pay attention to our Facebook page and website and check out when we have open house dates, which should be coming up in the fall again. But people can, of course, schedule tours to come see the center. But we do programs throughout the state at schools and libraries, just like the Central Rappahannock Regional Library Tour. And we do programs about Virginia native wildlife and the issues that face these wild animals, like litter and habitat destruction, and just trying to teach people about these animals so they have a better understanding and can interact with them in a better way.
You also have critter cams. Tell us about those.
Yes. So the Wildlife Center, several years ago, we added some cameras in our patient enclosures. And over the years, we've grown to have more than a dozen cameras in patient and education animal enclosures. So these cameras stream live on our website. Anyone can check them out. Our website is www.wildlifecenter.org, and there's a tab for our critter cams. We have three channels, and the animals featured on the critter cam change all the time. Right now we have six black bear cubs that are living in our outdoor black bear complex, so you can watch them, and it's about a half-acre yard that they're in with trees and logs that they can dig under and just be natural bear cubs and learn how to be out in the wild. We have a number of our bald eagle patients on camera, so people can really get a chance to watch these animals and learn more about them and better understand what the rehabilitation process looks like.
And understand, too, how we need to live with these animals.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
And you also have a couple other things coming up. The Caring for Critter sponsorships. What are those?
Yeah, the Caring for Critter sponsorship, that's actually something that we do year-round. So the center has about 24 education animals that live at the center, and anyone at any time can sponsor one or many of those animals, and you get a package, an adoption package, and your sponsorship can last for either 6 months or a year, and you get little updates about the animal throughout the year. And we, aside from our education animals, we also have special patients throughout the year. So sometimes we have black bear cubs that you can sponsor, or baby squirrels, or different animals.
And then the 2015 Wildlife Center Annual Gala is a big fundraiser coming up.
Oh, so much fun, yes. The gala is, well, I like to think of it as an opportunity for me to wear a fancy gown and also hold a bird at the same time.
Wow.
So I'm getting bird poop on my gown, but that's okay. But it's a really fun event that we have every fall. This year, yeah, it's in October. And it's at the Stonewall Jackson in Stanton. And we have a big dinner and a live auction and a silent auction, and the proceeds go to support the Wildlife Center's mission.
And then also the 20th annual Call of the Wild Conference in November.
Yeah, the Call of the Wild Conference is a conference that the center has put on for a number of years, and it's geared towards people that are interested in learning more about wildlife rehabilitation, or people that are already in the field of wildlife medicine or environmental education or veterinary medicine. And it's a 3-day event. And this year we have some really interesting programming that's coming up that we haven't fully announced yet, but keep an eye on our website so that you can learn more about it.
We need a 2-hour show. I have so many things to ask you about.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
And we also have, I want to go back to the critter cam, because we have on the same line as the veterinary medicine, we have on our critter cam coming up on July 30th, we have our monthly hospital cam. So the hospital is not typically open to the public, and people don't really have a chance to see the treatments that happen to care for our patients. But hospital cam is an opportunity for people to watch the morning treatments of our patients. And it starts at 9 a.m. on July 30th, and it'll go through the early afternoon. And sometimes we end the day with you get to watch baby bird feedings or baby bunny feedings. So it's a really fun day.
And that's all on your website.
All on our website, yes. And it's free. The Critter Cam is free. It's just streaming live.
Now, you are in Fredericksburg area today with some special guests because you're going to be showing and introducing them to the public. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. So this, the Central Rappahannock Regional Library Tour, we've done this for several years now. I've been with the center for 3 years, and I've done it each of my 3 years, and it's one of my favorite things every summer. It's almost a full week of programming throughout the region, and every year our themes are different, but this year we're presenting Birds of Prey programs in line with their superhero theme for the summer, which is really cool. I like to think of Birds of Prey sort of as superheroes. Yeah. So with me for the programs, I have Alex, our Eastern Screech Owl, Grayson, our Broadwing Hawk, and then my favorite is Buttercup, our Black Vulture.
Who kept you up last night in the hotel?
He did. You know, it's usually the nocturnal animals that are a problem when you're in hotels because they're active and they move around a lot, but I was very surprised to learn that Buttercup was a terrible roommate. He was really quite awful, but I love him, so I'll have to put up with it.
And joining us now on the show is Rebecca Purdy. She's the Director of Youth Services at Central Rappahannock Regional Library. And yesterday you had two programs with Raina, and you have some more coming up this week.
We sure do. She's going to Salem Church in a matter of moments to do two programs there, and then the Snow Branch. Both of those are in Spotsylvania County. Then she'll be at Porter tomorrow, and in Westmoreland County at our three branches there on Thursday. So you can find a complete schedule of the events at librarypoint.org.
And at Fredericksburg Today and all over the place.
Yes.
Now, did you attend the programs yesterday?
I did have the pleasure of seeing her in the morning and seeing Buttercup and everyone firsthand. And it was really great because she walked Alex down the aisle and he was making not his full screech, but little screechy noises.
Aww,
and it was so cute and everyone was so excited. So.
Now, is this an annual part of the summer reading program that you bring the Wildlife Center of Virginia?
It certainly has been, and we really do love working with Raina and the Wildlife Center. We really am impressed with the way she treats the animals so respectfully. We love to learn about animals that are in our region. You know, the kids can go home and they know that they've seen a possum. And she does a really great job of connecting the kids with the outdoors in their backyard.
I'm assuming then too, Raina, that you're educating the children and their parents about the lifestyles of these animals and what to do if and when you see them.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. That's a huge part of it, is just creating some awareness around these different animals, especially animals that people see so frequently, like opossums or vultures. But one of my favorite parts about the library tour is that I get to promote reading, too, along with it. So the Wildlife Center, we do a book club every other month, so reading is a huge part of what we support. And it's really great to encourage the kids to read more about wildlife and that's a huge way to engage them in these animals.
Rebecca, if a child's at one of these programs and all of a sudden they meet Buttercup, the Black Vulture, and they're just fascinated with vultures, how does the library help them connect with maybe more information?
Well, we have a book display at each of our programs right there about superbirds. And then also, of course, you know, we're there and available to help out with, if they have any questions, we'll take them right to the shelf and give them some good books that day. We also have a great database, Birds of North America, available on our website, librarypoint.org. And you can find out all kinds of great information there and even hear different cries. So if you wanted to hear Alex's full cry, you could go to Birds of North America database and listen to it.
And for people who don't understand, a database is a collection of information, and the library is paying for the subscription, so to say. So if someone wants to access that database, what do they need to do?
You can go to librarypoint.org/research. You'll need a library card, which of course is free. And you can either get that at the branch or even get that online as well. So just put in your library card number so that way that they know you get free access through your public library. And you can search Eastern Screech Owl.
and then see them, hear them. I know I looked at that the other day, and I was fascinated. Videos and audio recordings and so much information.
It's a great resource, and it's so cool that the library, I just learned that. See, yeah. Something new every day. That's so cool.
Raina, tell me a story from yesterday when you were introducing one of the animals. I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but do you have a story about maybe one of the animals or one of the children or how they interacted?
Sure, yeah. Well, I think I'll default to Buttercup because I think he's one of my more engaging animals in general. But he, when I first took him out of his enclosure at the England Run branch yesterday, it makes it look like I'm an incredible trainer because when I take him out, if I put my one arm out, he will often spread both of his wings, and I didn't train him to do that. He's very intuitive. He picks up on things like that, but it makes it look like, you know, oh, she trained him. How cool is that? So when I did that, I put my arm out and he spread both of his wings. And of course, everyone was just amazed at his wingspan. Because they're pretty big birds. They have pretty wide wings, and it's just very impressive. So that's always my favorite part.
I have to mention that for those listening, that in Fredericksburg, the police this week are working to scare away a roost of 60 vultures that are in the city that I love to watch soar. But it's interesting now that we're learning about Buttercup and seeing the personality of a vulture when we have this going on in the city. But I'm sure they will be back. As someone on Facebook posted who lives in Spotsylvania, they're just scaring them to our county. But when we come back, I just want to say thank you. You have to run because you have to get Buttercup and Grayson and Alex off to the libraries for your programs this morning. So you have to run. But when we come back from this break, Rebecca's going to be here to fill us in again on the Birds of Prey programs at the library this week and a lot of other great events coming up at the library. So you're listening to Town Talk on WFVA News Talk 1230 and stay with us. We'll be right back. Actually, your host today is Susan Larson. Good morning. I'm with Fredericksburg Today Online News, and I'm filling in for Ted this week while he's on vacation. We've been talking with the Wildlife Center of Virginia. Raina Krasner just had to scoot because she's off to the Central Rappahannock Regional Library programs this morning with Alex Eastern Screech Owl, Grayson the Broad-Winged Hawk, and Buttercup the Black Vulture. But Rebecca Purdy, who's the Director of Youth Services with CURL, the short name for the library, is here with me. Because I want you to tell us about how people can meet these critters and Raina this week.
Yeah, and you absolutely should. It's a great program, and Raina is a great advocate for wildlife. First thing this morning at 10 o'clock and 11:30, Raina and the gang will be at Salem Church, and then they'll be heading to our Snow Branch out in Spotsylvania County. Tomorrow they'll be at the Porter Branch in North Stafford, and then on Thursday they're going to finish up in Westmoreland County at our three branches there. And you can find a complete schedule and days and times on librarypoint.org.
And librarypoint.org is a great place to go throughout your, if you're listening to this as a podcast down the road, and these events have already happened, you can still go to librarypoint.org because there are so many events going on year-round. And tell us about some others that are coming up just around the corner.
Absolutely. So in August, Library Fun Fests are happening at five of our branches, and we're going to be celebrating a summer of reading excellence with community partners, games and activities, and popsicles, of course, sponsored by the Friends of the Library.
Yay, popsicles.
Yay, popsicles. Great for a hot August day. The first event's on August 5th at England Run, and then we finish up on Porter and Snow on August 14th. And again, a complete schedule is available at librarypoint.org. And one of the great things about the Library Fun Fest is we're not just celebrating a summer of great reading, but we also have a lot of community partners are there as well. So, for example, Smart Beginnings Rappahannock area will be there, and they'll have a table with some activities. And their Passport to Kindergarten mascot, Ready Freddy, who is a giant frog, will be there and available for hugs and photo opportunities or handshakes if you're more formal. and then Engineering for Kids is going to be at the Snow Branch, and they're going to set off a hobby rocket there. And then we have partnerships with the Stafford Police Department and the Spotsylvania Sheriff's Office, and they'll bring their canine units and their barrel trains and things like that as well. So there will be a whole bunch of great activities and community organizations there joining us in the celebration. At England Run, they're even going to have a school bus. So if you have a new kid to school this year or a preschooler who will be going to school soon, then they can come and they can climb on the bus and get an idea about what it would be like when the big day
comes. What
a
great idea, instead of waiting to the first day.
Absolutely.
That's a great idea.
Absolutely.
And I know also that you've been having a super year this summer with the summer reading program.
Boy, have we. We try to beat our numbers every year, and this year the area kids are reading like gangbusters. Over 4,000 kids have signed up for summer reading already and read almost 2.5 million minutes. And that's just babies through grade six. And I say babies read, but yes, that because reading to your baby is a very important thing to do, and we count the minutes that you read to them as well.
And even any child who's not reading on their own yet can be in the summer reading program, because you can read to them or have them listen to books on tape. Is that correct?
That's correct. Absolutely. And count those minutes. And then they can earn prizes and things like that, too. But they're also building their early literacy skills and practices that they need to get ready to read. You have to read to your baby if you want them to read independently later.
Now, you said these statistics are just covering up to grade six, and yet you have a lot of readers in the tweens and teens and adults also.
Absolutely. The teens are pushing the million-a-minute marker as well. Over 1,200 teens have signed up. And adults, over 1,300 have signed up, and they've posted almost 700 book reviews. So if you're looking for something good to read, the adults in the community have lots of recommendations for you. Check it out.
Where are those book reviews?
They're at librarypoint.org/SRC and in the summer reading database. And it's not too late to sign up. If you haven't signed up yet, don't think, oh, summer's half over, it's too late. It's never too late to start reading for summer or reading, period. So go to librarypoint.org/SRC, sign yourself up, and in the adult program you can browse over 700 reviews.
That would be fun to do. And I know also when I've been in the library, I see books with these papers sticking up of people have written their little recommendations of what they've read.
Absolutely. There's more of those. That is more of those reviews that just aren't published online. They're doing them in the paper. So if you're not an online person, and we get that, not everyone is, then come into the branch and you can sign up in person and you can handwrite your reviews. And you get a pin just for signing up if you're an adult. And then for every review that you post, you are entered into a drawing for movie passes.
I did not know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's an incentive also. Now, there's another big event coming up, isn't it? August 1st? Or
That's right. August 1st, the Headquarters Library is hosting a reenactment or recreation of a Potawatomi Indian village. The Potawatomi tribe lived in Stafford County, and over 50 members of the tribe are going to be there that day. They're going to put up a longhouse that they have on the front lawn of the library. We got permission from the city to have an open flame for them to cook venison and fish on an open fire. They're going to bring a 13-foot canoe that you'll be able to climb in and sit in and see what it's like and have traditional music and dancing. And inside the library in the theater, they're going to bring artifacts that are over 10,000 years old that will be there for you to see. You'll learn how the regalia, their beautiful ornamental dress, is made. You'll get to hear some Potawatomi traditional stories and make some crafts.
And that's a tribe that is local to our area. They have been here for thousands and thousands of years and still exist. I know I was speaking to the chief, John Leitner, I believe is his name, recently, and the tribe members do not have a reservation, but they live locally, a lot of them in Stafford County, and it's by blood descendancy. And so they are still an active tribe here in Virginia. And it's so, I know I saw their presentation at Ferry Farm on July 4th, and it's so fascinating to see the history represented up till today. So it's very exciting the library is doing that. And that's on again, what day?
August 1st at the Headquarters Library from 9 to 3. And it'll be held rain or shine. So I hope to see you there.
Oh, how will we cook venison in the rain?
I guess,
had to do it. We will
that's
learn
right.
how.
We will learn how they did it. Because they had to eat it even when it rained.
Oh, what else we have going on at the library?
So on August 24th, you know, we have our music on the steps. It's our 30th annual this year, and it happens every Monday night at the Headquarters Library. But on August 24th, we are bringing back a very special guest, former Fredericksburg resident Doc Scantlin and his Imperial Palms Orchestra. That's an 18-piece ensemble, and he does a lot of big band music, goes through the early Great American Songbook, and they're so popular that we actually have to hold that one instead of at the Headquarters Library at the James Monroe High School in their theater there. So that'll be at James Monroe High School August 24th at 7 o'clock. And you should definitely, if you had not seen Doc Scantlin, then you are missing out. It is a treat, and you absolutely should get there. And before then, you can build up the excitement by coming to Music on the Steps at the Headquarters Library.
Rebecca, thank you so much for being with us today. Have fun today with the birds.
Thank you.
We were at the Wildlife Center of Virginia today also. I'm Susan Larson. Thanks for listening, and find me on Fredericksburg.today, Fredericksburg Today Online News. See you tomorrow.